Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you something.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Praise God. I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Philippians here today, chapter number 4. Very, very familiar scripture. I say that a lot, but this should be familiar to just about any Bible reader. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, let's start verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Very familiar. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Amen. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. I'd like to preach to us for just a few moments, and if the Lord would help us, I'd like to talk to us about circumstantial happiness. Amen. Circumstantial happiness. You know, some people are only happy when the circumstances, happy circumstances come their way. That's right. We live in a selfish world. Amen. People believe that if they could just get something, that something would make them happy. Ever grasping, ever searching, ever longing, ever reaching. Amen. For something else. Praise God. But I come to tell us here today, and start saying tonight, it's still daytime. I come to tell us here today that I tell you something will not make you happy.
Right.
But someone can make you happy.
Right.
Glory to God. I felt got down the fifth rib just saying that. Hallelujah. Now I speak, he said, in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul learned, he said. He said, I've learned how to be content. Praise God. Amen. Contentment, I believe, is a process that one has to learn. Amen. And I tell you what, you know what? You can learn how to be content with what you already have. Praise God. Most people seek contentment in things. They seek contentment in possessions. But true contentment is only found in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Paul is writing from prison, yet he is still content. I want you to notice this. Amen. Life does not consist, the Bible said, of the things that we possess. God is not impressed with your possessions.
Come on.
Woo. Right.
Amen. I'm gonna preach a little bit cross-grained here today. Amen. God is not impressed with your possessions. Did you hear that?
Right.
Amen. Oh, no. Well, you know what impresses God? Not possessions, but, amen, obedience and faithfulness.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's what impresses God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something. God can't be impressed with possessions because he already has it. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. I tell you, all the money in Fort Knox doesn't impress God because he's got pavement of gold up there. Amen. That's what the streets are made out of up there on the other side is gold. Hallelujah. So I tell you, possessions and wealth, you can't impress God with that. But oh, when one comes to the Lord with an humble, obedient heart, I tell you, it moves heaven.
Right.
I tell you that this cuts me so much, and I don't often do this, but if any of you's got John Phillips, you can reference this to be sure I'm telling you the truth. But I love this so much, I got it here verbatim, and I want to read to you, amen, what Phillips said. Paul said, amen, not that I speak in respect of want. Amen. The only other reference to that scripture in the entire word of God is in Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 44. And it speaks of a widow woman. Remember that widow woman?
Yeah.
Amen. That she only had two mites, praise God. Amen. And there they was, Brother George. The house was packed. And Jesus was standing up there by the offering plate. I want to read to you what Philip said. Amen. And the Bible said that he watched with the fanfare and the flourish as the rich cast in their donations into the collection plate, if you will. Amen. Along with that widow, obviously very poor, but for a long time, amen, the doctors come up there and they cast in large amounts of money. The lawyers came and they cast in large amounts. find some money, Brother Tommy. Yeah. The businessman came. Amen. The local grocery store owner. And who else in town? I mean, them guys that make a lot of money. And they came and they put a lot of money in that offering pan. Praise God. But up come this widow woman, John Phillips said. And she looked. Now, this is what Phillips said. I wanted to read it, but I think I'm just going to tell you because I already read it. Praise God. Phillips said she got up there. And up there was the offering pan that said, amen, unto the Lord. And there was the offering pan that said, amen, offerings for the poor, amen, that we're going to help the poor with. Hallelujah. And Philip said she got up there and her heart yearned within herself with that one mite. Philip said she had that one mite in her hand. And she looked and she said, Lord, my heart yearns to give, amen, unto the Lord because of how good and how great you have been to me. But she looks down at the pan that says for the poor. And she said, God, my heart yearns to help somebody poor, for I know what it's like to be poor. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus was astonished, and it moved heaven, praise God. And it made the word of God, and it's still popular thousands of years later when that widow woman, amen, Philip said it like this, it touched my heart. I hope it touches yours. But he said she didn't hesitate, and she threw that mite down into the pan that said, unto the Lord. And she reached very hurriedly into her pocket and she searched and she got the last mite that she owned to her name and she threw it down in the pan that said unto the poor. Hallelujah. And it moved heaven. And Jesus looked at him and he said, this woman hath given more than ye all. He said, because the doctors and the lawyers and the businessmen, they gave out of their abundance. But this woman, listen to this. Here it is. This woman gave of her want. Yeah. Hallelujah. This woman gave everything she had unto the Lord. Hey, I come to tell us that's the only way you ever find happiness. Amen. Not in keeping, but in giving. Amen. That's the only way God can ever prosper us. Not in keeping, but in giving. Lord, help us to be a giver. Help us to give of our life. Help us to give of our time. Help us to give of our tithe. Help us to give everything we are to God.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Man, that touched my heart.
Touch him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Woo. Luke 12:15 said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. That's not what your life is. You, when we get to the end of the road, and I guess you say, Michelle and I have been laughing about this, I've got to watch out and get myself in trouble, but I know an individual, and I'll keep it very broad because some of you might know him if I would give you a few but too much details, but he's got a life insurance policy, and it told me, and I think this is very odd. Hey man, I think it's very weird. I never was big into policies and stuff, but anyhow, hey man, I guess he's got a rather large life insurance policy, and he told me one time, and he liked to knock the wind out of me. He said, when I die, it's not going to my wife for her to have a big time and party and go run and get another man on my money that I left her. Praise God. I disagree with that. I don't have a dime of life insurance, but if I did, every penny of it go to that woman sitting back there, and then 5 kids of mine. Praise God! I don't agree with that. I don't want you to think I do. Amen. I don't agree with that one bit. But what I'm trying to tell us is, amen. Oh, life is not about possessions, and life is not about abundance. But you know what? I want to try somehow, some way, to make a difference in eternity.
Yes.
I want to try somehow, some way to make a difference in heaven. I want to reach a soul. I want to reach a lost man. I want to reach a lost woman. I want to change the life of a young person sitting in this house today. That's what eternity is going to be measured by when you get to the end of life. We're not going to say, how much money did he have? Did he have $1 million? Did he drive a Rolls Royce? Did he have a convertible? How much did he have? No! That's not what he's going to be measured by, but he's going to be measured with how much did he give to God.
Woo.
Amen. God.
Yes.
Bless him, Lord.
Pray for
touch him, Lord. Touch him, Lord.
Woo! Timothy said, and having food and raiment, let us therefore be
content.
Content.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Paul learned the secret to being content. He learned by experience. He learned to live above his circumstances by going through good and difficult times. This word content means a self-sufficient or an inner independence. Praise God, external from circumstance. I'm preaching on circumstantial happiness. Is it a circumstance that makes you happy? Or is it an inner sufficiency in Jesus Christ?
Right.
Amen. Hey, great God. Let me tell you something. When the money runs out, Jesus is still there. When the car rests down and in a junkyard, Jesus is still there. I've told you many times. I remember years ago, I had a red Ford truck. I loved that Ford truck. My neighbor used to tell me all the time, "You're going to wash the paint off that thing." But when we got married, I was quite opposite than probably 90 or maybe higher than that, 90% of the folks. Most people get married and run out and buy a new car. I got married and I said, "I think I'm going to sell this thing to help me get a house." Amen. So I sold that truck that I love, Brother Tom. I sold that truck for a down payment on a house. Amen. And you know what? Here it comes. I drove by down there in Kentucky. I knew the guy that bought it. Ron Yates sold it for me. And I knew where the guy lived. Every time we was down that way, I'd say, "Just drive by there and look at that truck." Amen. I drove by there, Shelby. Amen. I don't know how many years later, and I looked over and looked at that truck. I know it's silly, but I like that truck. But you know what? I imagine somewhere, hey man, that's been a long time ago. I guess that's been over 20 years ago now. I'd say somewhere there's a landfill, great God, that truck's either sitting in or it's already been squashed and sent off for recycling. It's already come and it's already gone. But oh, I come to tell us that investment in Christ, hey man, giving your life to Jesus 100%, the junkyard ain't going to take it away. The recycling men. Amen. Great God. If I could get somebody in this house today to say, "Lord, I'm not spending my life for things. I'm not spending my life, amen, for something. I'm spending my life for someone. And his name is Jesus."
Yes.
God. Praise. I feel the Holy Ghost. Pray for me. Amen. Oh, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is an inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace no matter what outward circumstances come. Oh, yes. That's why Paul could be locked up in prison and he write, amen, again, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That's why Paul could look out. Amen. Or rather, he couldn't look out. He was down in that Mamertine prison. He was down in the depths of the deepness. I preached about that in the past. They had him down in that hole. And they gave him a little bit of food and just a little bit of bread. I mean, he had a candle burning. And he wrote from that Mamertine prison some of the most marvelous words that men have still read to this day. Amen. How could Paul, in such depravity, write such words as that? I tell you how he did it, Brother. Amen, Tom. Amen. Outward circumstance did not determine the inner sufficiency of Paul. Paul said, "You can take my belongings. I've got Jesus. You can put me in a hole. You can put me in the Mamertine prison. But I still got Jesus." To those Philippi, amen, the church down in the Philippi, amen, and he said, "I love you." He listed several of their names up there in the first chapter of the book of Philippians, and he listed their names, and he said, "I love you with all of my heart." Let me tell you something. Paul loved, amen, the Lord, and he loved the work of God.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Paul said, I know him. Amen. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'm happy because I know him. They got me in prison, but I know him.
Yeah.
They say they're going to kill me, but I know him. I've been shipwrecked. They stoned me down at Lystra and they left me for dead, but I know him. I wish I was in a Pentecost church here today. Hey, God. Hey, look at what they've done to me. I've been shipwrecked. I've been floating on boards. Hey, God. Oh, I've been in the deep. It looked like there's no way out, but I know him. Amen. I feel like somebody in this house would raise a hand and say, God, I know things ain't like I wish they'd have turned out at this moment in my life, but I know him. I'm not going to let outward circumstance determine the inner peace that I have in my heart. I'm not going to let circumstances of this life zap the peace of God. I might be sick, but I know him. I might not be able to pay my bills, but I know him. Hey, amen. My children might be lost like the prodigal son, but I know him. If anybody in this house can raise a hand and say, thank God, I know him.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's praise him one more time. Let's get the hand of God in this house. Oh, God.
Praise you.
Oh, God.
Praise you.
Man, I love this. I can tear right off. It's done more for me than it is you. Amen. Oh, amen. John, on that Isle of Patmos, Brother Tommy, they cast him out there in solitude. They took him away from his family. They took him away from everybody. Put him on that aisle. Amen. And said, let's drive him insane. Did you know solitude will drive a lot of people crazy, but not Paul, not John. Why? He said, I know him. Woo! Paul said, you might have me down in the lower parts of this prison, but I remember being in the house of the Lord. I remember, amen, them saints that I got established. Amen. I wonder how that Philippian jailer is. They had him locked up, but Paul had a smile on his face, and he said, I believe that Philippian jailer is shouting in the house of God today. I know him. I said, I know. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Somebody in this house, you need to understand, you got him. You don't need that. You don't need everything else. When you got him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen to this. Contentment is not escape from the battle, but rather it's an abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Contentment was one of the highest Greek qualities. Listen to this. To the Greeks, it meant you were sufficient in yourself. But to the Christians, it meant you are sufficient in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. True sufficiency means when a nation doesn't depend on another nation. Our prior administration, we were mostly sufficient. Hallelujah. We produced our own oil. We produced our own gas. We produced our own textiles. But now we depend on somebody else. We're insufficient. But in Christ, we're sufficient.
Right?
Woo! I wish I could get somebody excited here today. I said, in Christ, we are sufficient. I said, in Christ, not in a new car, not in a big bank account, not in things of this world, but in Jesus Christ.
Right. Yes, Lord.
Contentment grows from our attitude towards God and living life His way and not our way.
That's it. Yes.
If you're miserable, listen to me. I'll preach to somebody here.
Come on.
If you're miserable, and every night you lay down,
come on.
You think of whether you even want to live or not. And you get up in the morning and you say, not again.
Come on.
Not again. I can't do this again. I'll tell you, your life's out of priority.
Come on, right.
Your life's out of kilter. Come on. You better find him.
Bless him, Lord.
And you better make him the center
Come on.
Of your life.
Come on.
Because Paul, amen, was facing death.
Right.
And he said, again, I say rejoice. Always rejoice in the Lord. Those three Hebrew boys, they walked in the midst of the fire. I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. Guess what, Brother Tommy?
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't you just deny the Lord? Why don't you just bow down? Amen. When the music stops, they said, no, we got one in us that'll take care of us. And you know what happened when they throwed him in the fire? That old king said, turn the furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been turned up before. Turn it up high and throw him in the fire. But guess what? They got in the fire. Guess what, Brother Shuffy? They got in the fire. And they got to walking around. And they found out that he's enough. He's enough. I wish I had a Pentecost church that would raise a hand and say, I'm in the fire, but he's enough. I'm in the midst of the hardest battle that I've faced in my life, but he's enough. I come to tell you, Jesus is enough.
Yes. Yes.
Man.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is enough.
Woo.
Yes.
Contentment is a quiet restfulness in the midst of changing circumstance and events.
Right.
Life can be chaotic.
Right.
I can be at peace when I got him.
Right.
Hallelujah. Godliness does not give us financial gain all the time. Listen to me. Godliness itself is gain when it is accompanied with contentment. Godliness is gain, amen, in itself, because it has a promise of a blessing right now and in eternity.
Right.
Godliness does not come and go. Materials come and go. Possessions come and go. Money. Somebody said every time I get money, the only thing it says. Somebody said it talks. He said the only thing it ever said to me was goodbye. Hallelujah. Yeah, money talks. You might have a lot of money right now, but you might, amen, somehow, some way, amen, lose that money.
Right.
So are you happy because you got money? So that means when you don't have money, you won't be happy. But let me tell you something, godliness and contentment. You'll be happy when you got no money, and you'll be happy when you got some money. Hey, I tell you, church, I feel this in my heart. We're focusing on the main thing. Amen. We got our focus on the wrong thing.
Yes, Lord.
Instead of the main thing.
Yeah. Yay, God.
Come on.
Yes, God.
I better go on. Or we're going to be here all day. True contentment is found in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. We must direct our focus on what God has allowed us to have.
That's it. Yes, Lord.
Number one. I got 4 points. I'm just now getting to number one. Hallelujah. This involves us counting our blessings.
Come on.
Get your mind on what you've got.
That's it.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes. Being thankful for what God has already given you.
Amen.
Being thankful for what God has already done for you.
Right.
Amen. Being thankful. Pray God that I have a Lord and his name is Jesus.
Right.
Being thankful. I've got a church. Amen. That loves me and that cares. Amen. Oh, I've got a family. Some of you can say, amen, I've got a mom. I've got a dad. I know everybody can't say all these things. Some of you can say that. Amen. I'm thankful I got a dad. I'm thankful I got a mom. You know how valuable that is. I'm thankful I got a companion. I'm thankful I got children. I'm thankful I got a job. I'm thankful I got a way to pay my bill when it comes in tomorrow. Hey, you got more to be thankful for than what you realize. I said you got more to be thankful for. All you do is sit around and look at what you don't have. Get your eyes on what God has given you.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Some of you give me 2 good feet.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
He's been having problems with his feet like me. I don't know if you ever had that plantar fasciitis. You don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Get them big old knots in the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
Have to go down there and get them shots. Man, it hurts.
Yeah.
They'll put that needle right in that knot.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And give you that mess that burns like fire. Woo! Oh, just a little knows what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, burns like fire. But you know what? I've been through that. And you know what? Ain't hardly a morning I wake up now. And I get up and it hurt a little bit. But nothing like they did. I said, thank you, Lord. I can walk. Woo! Amen. I might just preach all day. Lord, give me voice. I'm feeling like preaching. I had a bad day at St. Mary's one day. I was working there when I was back when I was a nurse. I guess I thought it was the worst day on planet Earth. Hey, everything. You ever had them days? Everything goes bad. You ever had them days? Amen. Could it get any worse? And I was playing a pity party. And I said, oh, God, I've got to be the most miserable wretch on earth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was going to lunch, I guess it was. Heading down the elevator, heading towards the cafeteria.
Thank you, Lord.
And I got down, going down that elevator, going down that hallway. And I looked and I seen a horrible sight. A rough looking fella. Something had happened. I don't know if it was a car accident. I don't know what happened in life. But you know, some people got a stub at least. This guy didn't have nothing. This guy didn't have no stubs. Oh, God. He was sitting in that wheelchair, never had a leg, never had nothing from here down on both sides. No legs. Amen. A stump of a fella. And Brother George, he had them old gloves on his hands, and he's wheeling that wheelchair. And I looked down at him, and he had a smile across his face, and he was glad to be alive.
Yeah.
I hung my head, and I said, God, forgive me. I got two legs to walk on. I got two feet, amen, to jump on. God, you've been too good to me. I come to tell somebody, look at what you got. Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what God has blessed you with.
That's it. Yes, woo. Yes.
Well,
praise you, Lord.
So you know number two already. Amen. Disregard. Direct our focus on what we got. Disregard what you don't have.
Yeah.
Men are rich in that they are God's creation. We're rich enough to know that God has created us.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Warren Buffett put it like this. Did you know Warren Buffett at one time, he's not now, but at one time was the richest man in the world. A guy's got more money than anything. And Warren Buffett said this. Always like this. Warren Buffett said that just because you were born in America, you hit the jackpot. He said, you consider yourself as hitting the lottery if you was born in America. That's right. You know, we've got a wonderful country. We're born free. Amen. Tax till death, but we're born free. Hey, if you got an opinion, you can state it. You want to get a sign and stand out by the road and protest, you can do that. But did you know we're born free? Amen. God has blessed us. And God has been good to us. Get your eyes. Amen. Disregard what you don't have.
Right.
One man, one time. Had a very humble home, didn't have much. He had a visitor come by, and he offered the visitor to sleep out in the barn. And he said, hey, amen, you're welcome to my barn. And he had a bed made out of hay. And he said, if there's anything at all you need, he said, come and get me, and I'll teach you how to get along without it. If you need anything, come and get me. Right. I'll show you how to do without. Praise God. Oh, amen. There's so much we think we need, but we don't really need it. Contentment teaches us to do without. Great God. You don't need that new dress as much as you think you do. You don't need that new suit as much as you think you do. You don't need that new car as much as you think you do. Contentment is when I can be happy with what God has given me.
Right.
Because you know what? If you don't watch out and you go down and get yourself in a bunch of debt to get a bunch of stuff you don't need, mm-hmm. It changes life.
Yes, sir.
Then you go to worrying about stuff.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
You go buy you a $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 house, and then you lay up at night worrying about it.
That's it.
You go buy you a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 car, and then you lay up at night worrying about it.
Come on.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
The wrestler gets on to me all the time. Somebody's not like that old boot truck of mine. He gives me a hard way to go about it. And he said, Dad, why don't you get a truck like George's? He said, Dad, why don't you get a truck like Tommy's?
Dad, why don't you get a, he'll mention four of my people. Why don't I get a truck like theirs? I aggravate him all the time. I said, I'll tell you why, Weston. Because you see this old truck of mine? I can pull right up there beside where they park the buggies. Woo! Hey, I mean, if they hit it with a buggy, I don't even sweat. Come on. But you know what? That brand new $100,000 car, you got to park at the end of the lot. You got to worry if somebody hits it with a door. You got to worry when they're sawed on the road. You got to worry just to drive that thing. I tell you what, if we don't watch out, possessions begins to rule us instead of us ruling them.
You're right.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is this all right?
Yes.
Amen. A person depends upon material things for peace and assurance and happiness instead of Jesus. If you don't watch out, you'll get life out of priority. You'll get life out of whack, and you're going to be depending on stuff instead of Him.
Right. True.
Right.
Oh, God.
All right, we got to decide to refuse to covet somebody else has.
Come on.
If you sit around always saying, I wish I had what so-and-so has, you're a miserable soul.
Come on, man. You're right.
Well, look, Tommy got a nice Toyota truck.
Yeah.
Four-door, I think it is, ain't it? Teen cab.
Extended, yeah.
Standard cab. Woo! Look at Chris, man. He got a 50-mile-gallon car. Hey, man. I'm just aggravating some of you. I know I can. Hey, man. You know, that's the way we are. Look at so-and-so. Man, I wish I could have that. I tell you what that is. That's miserableness. When you live life always worrying about what somebody else has. Paul said, with food and rain, be content. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't live your life always hoping what I might get tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, God.
Woo. Feel this on my heart. I wish I could get across. I don't feel like I can get it out like I feel it.
Come on.
Oh, God. It's harder to know how to abound than it is to know how to suffer. What Paul said, I've been abased, and I know what it's like to abound.
Yeah.
Amen. Most of us, we can handle the abased part. Yeah. Amen. It's easy to humble us down when we don't have much. I know when my dad got hurt when I was only 11 years old, we like to lost everything we had. My mom went to work for a local funeral home. Times were hard. I had to go to work at a young age. Time was hard. But did you know what? It's easy to learn how, amen, to live with low means. But a lot of people, they can't handle when the abound part comes. It'll rule them. There's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Job was a wealthy man. David was a wealthy man. Abraham was a wealthy man. But oh, they owned their wealth, and their wealth didn't own them. If you don't watch out, your possessions and your wealth, it'll own you.
You're right.
Amen.
So true.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Is this all right?
Yes.
Amen. It's good.
Jesus.
And your land.
Yes, the Lord.
Amen. Lord, help us. What is the source of our wealth? Did you know everything you have comes from God?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it to you.
Yes, it does.
1 Corinthians 29:12 says, both riches and honor come from thee, O God. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Amen. Everything comes from Him. Nothing you have, amen, is yours. It's all His. That little 100 by 100 piece of land that I own down there, 4555 Piedmont Road, I just own it for a little while. And one of these days I'm going to be gone. And it goes back to God. I said it goes back to God. He owns it all anyway. Amen. He's just letting us have it for a little bit of time.
Right. Ball road. Hallelujah.
Did you know
it's good.
Riches are shallow? Money can't buy love. Money can't buy happiness.
Right.
It can't buy peace.
Right.
It can't buy one more minute of life.
Woo.
Queen Elizabeth, when she was dying, she said, I'd give, amen, all of my riches for just another day of life.
Think of that.
But did you know $1 million can't buy another day? Oh, God. She said, I'd give, amen. Thank God. Lord, help us.
Come on.
Amen. Relationships, they mean a lot more than what you realize. Oh, yes. I'm in a turmoil right now. They've already made momentum on Mother's Day weekend again. Last year, I didn't go see my mom, and I went to May Momentum, and I felt like a dog for a month. Hey, I still feel like a dog. What am I going to do? Hey, man, let me tell you something. Hey, Brother Tommy, how far would you drive right now if you couldn't go see your mom? Hey, how far would you drive? Hey, man, bow your relationships right now. Don't let them slip through your fingers. Don't let that friend slip through your finger. Don't let that companion go to bed at night. What's problems between you? Relationship, they mean more than what we put a value on.
All right.
Amen.
Am I preaching all right?
Thank you, Lord.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Help us, Lord. Jesus. Raise your hand, church. Thanks God to have his way here. Lord, I preached too long. Got more on my heart. I don't know what to do. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Money's a tool from God to be used to care for our families and to be used to do work for God. So money is given to us from God for family. And for faith. That's why God gives us money.
That's right,
and that's the first two things we do with our money. We take care of our families and we back our faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Timothy said, 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, for they may not last very long, he said, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Yeah.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store, amen, for themselves, a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Right.
Timothy said, God's giving you riches to help your family, raise your family, and to help others, and to back the work of God. That's why God has given us what he's given us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We're to obey God and put him first. I know you're done.
Put him first.
Stay with me across this house.
Put him first.
Woo!
That's the mighty God.
Let's pray, Lord. I know time is slipping. What am I? I really felt you here preaching. I feel like there's a heart. I feel like there's multiple hearts in this house today. Lord, that needs to reevaluate what their life is all about. Oh, God. Lord, I know I've been evaluating myself since I thought I was going to preach this Thursday. And I've been evaluating myself for days now. Lord, what is life all about?
Yes.
What is life? But a vapor that appeared for a short season, then vanished away. What is life? It's here today and gone tomorrow. What is life, Lord? What should I spend my life doing? Ask yourself these questions, church. What is life?
Jesus.
What am I going to spend my life doing? What is important in life?
Yes.
What is necessary in life? God, what do you want me to do with my life?
Yes, God. Yes.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
All right. Whoever's going to help me up here.
Have your way, Lord.
Holy God.
Is there anybody who wants to really seriously evaluate your life?
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? We ain't got but one to invest, Brother Tom.
You're right, buddy.
We ain't got but one life.
Give it to God.
I'm somewhere in the middle.
That's it.
You're somewhere over the middle.
Somewhere.
You're somewhere over the middle.
I'm way over the middle.
There's somewhere in the middle. We got a lot in the middle. We got some over the middle. Yeah. And we got some near the end.
Yep.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. What is life? But just a vapor. What is life? I tell you, life is serious, church.
Yes, it is.
You ain't got but one life to live. Let me tell you something. Don't live it how somebody else. Don't live life how somebody else wants you to live.
Come on.
How God's calling you to live.
Come on, buddy.
Amen. If you don't watch out, you'll spend your life living like somebody else is pressuring you to live.
Come on.
That's right.
Oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
The Holy Ghost here, church. I really do. I appreciate you. Burn on my heart. Amen. Right here, right now. Jesus. 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 Come later to your own purpose. I'm giving God time to search your heart. Search a heart, God. Search a heart. Right here today. Search a heart. Search a heart, Lord. Search a heart. All right. Are you willing to take this word and apply it and get up here in this altar and say, God, I'm going to do different from this day on.
Yes.
I'm going to spend my life for you.
Yes.
I'm not going to spend it for me. I'm not going to spend it for what I want to do. I'm not going to live it selfishly on what I can get, what I can gain, what I can lay up. God, I'm going to spend my life for you.
I did. Right.
God, I'm going to work on myself.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Church, stay with me.
Oh,
come on, come on. Somebody needs to be stepping out. I'm waiting on you. This altar's open. This altar's open. Somebody say, Lord, count me in. You can have my heart. You can have my life. Count me in. Count me in. Oh, God. This altar ought to be full right now. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray. A stranger in this house. First one in this altar. We ought to be embarrassed of ourselves. There ought to be folks in this altar right here right now. God, help me, Lord. I want to invest my life in you, Lord. I want to invest my life in you, God.
Lord, help
come on, church. Come on, church.